Overthinking is the fastest way to waste your energy and delay your life. If you're tired of always being in your head, this is the moment that will change everything. Overthinking doesn't make you smarter, it makes you slower. You already know that. You feel it when you're awake at 3 a.m., replaying the same conversation. You feel it when you want to take a step but keep talking yourself out of it. That's not growth. That's mental overload. This is your wake-up call. In this audiobook, Stop Overthinking Everything, The Simple Solution, you'll learn how to stop spinning in circles and start thinking clearly. You'll learn how to act before fear makes your decisions for you, how to protect your mind from outside noise, and how to build clarity, focus, and real confidence one step at a time. If you're ready to stop draining your mind and start directing it, stay with me. Everything changes from here. Chapter 1. Face your worries and stop letting them repeat daily. When you overthink, you create the same problem over and over in your mind. You replay the same worry every morning when you wake up. You carry it around during the day. You go to bed with it at night. It becomes a loop that drains your energy and steals your focus. The truth is, most of the time, the problem itself is not as damaging as the endless thinking about it. A single worry repeated daily becomes a heavy weight that holds you back from growth, action, and peace. The first step to stop overthinking is to face your worries head-on. People often avoid their worries, hoping they will disappear with time, but ignoring them does not work. They linger in the background and return stronger. If you want freedom, you must be honest with yourself about what is bothering you. Ask yourself directly, "What am I worried about right now?" Say it clearly. Write it down on paper. Make it real. Because once you face a worry directly, it loses the hidden power it has over you. Overthinking is like standing at a door and never opening it. You keep wondering what is behind it. You imagine hundreds of outcomes, but you never step inside to see for yourself. Facing your worry is opening that door. It is choosing to stop imagining endless scenarios and deal with what is actually in front of you. If you are worried about money, admit it to yourself. If you are worried about health, acknowledge it. If you are worried about relationships, face that too. The courage to see things as they are is the foundation of peace. Once you have faced your worry, the next step is to stop letting it repeat endlessly. Worrying is a habit. Your brain becomes comfortable running the same thought over and over, almost like background noise. You may even believe that worrying somehow prepares you for the future, but it doesn't. What prepares you is action. What gives you strength is clarity. And clarity comes only when you refuse to rehearse the same fear again and again. You stop the cycle by interrupting it. When the same thought appears, say to yourself, "I have already thought about this. I will not give it more energy." That simple statement creates a mental boundary. At first, the worry will try to sneak back in. It will return tomorrow morning. But each time you interrupt it, you weaken its grip. The brain learns that not every thought deserves attention. You learn that you are stronger than your repetitive doubts. Think about how much time is lost in overthinking. Hours of the day are wasted replaying conversations, imagining failures, or predicting problems that never come true. Those hours could be used to build something meaningful, to work on a skill, to connect with people, to rest, or to grow. When you stop giving energy to repetitive worry, you gain back your most valuable resource, time. With time comes opportunity. With time comes change. Human beings want certainty, and that is why we overthink. We believe if we think long enough, we will find certainty. But certainty does not come from thinking, it comes from action. You cannot know the outcome of everything in advance. You cannot control every detail of tomorrow, but you can control what you do today. That is where your power, island, Facing your worry means deciding to act in spite of uncertainty. Imagine someone who worries every day about failing in their career. They think about it when they wake up. They think about it on the way to work. They think about it before going to bed. And yet, they never update their skills. They never apply for new opportunities. They never ask for feedback. Their worry consumes them, but it does not move them forward. Now imagine if that same person faced their worry honestly. They admitted, "I am afraid of falling behind." Then, instead of repeating the thought for the 100th time, they signed up for a new course, asked a mentor for advice, or started a small project. The action dissolves the worry, because worry thrives in inaction, and it dies in action. You have to ask yourself, what would happen if I stopped repeating this worry every day? How much lighter would you feel if you faced it once, created a plan, and then refused to replay it? How much energy would you have to invest in what truly matters? Your mind would be clearer, your decisions sharper, your confidence stronger. Another truth is that worry is often exaggerated. The brain tends to amplify fears when they are repeated. The more you think about them, the bigger they seem. Facing them directly exposes their real size. Many times, you realize the problem is smaller than you imagined. Even if it is serious, at least you know what you are dealing with. The unknown is always scarier than the known. There is also an emotional side. Overthinking creates tension in your body. You feel it in your chest, in your stomach, in your shoulders. You may feel restless, unable to sleep, unable to focus. Your body carries the weight of repeated worries. When you face them and stop replaying them, your body relaxes. You feel lighter, calmer, more present. Your physical health improves because your mind is no longer stuck in an endless loop of fear. Practical steps help. Start by writing down your top three worries. Do not avoid them. Look at them. For each one, ask, "Is this something I can control?" If yes, write the next action you can take. If no, remind yourself, repeating this worry will not change the outcome. That small exercise gives you power. It gives you clarity. You are no longer a victim of your thoughts. You are the one directing them. Another practical tool is setting a worry time. Instead of letting worries invade your entire day, give them a fixed time. For example, decide that from 6 to 6, 15 inches the evening, you will think about your worries, write them, analyze them, plan around them. But outside that time, when a worry comes, remind yourself, "I will think about this later, not now." This trains your mind to stop replaying them endlessly. Soon, you will realize many worries are not even worth your scheduled time. They fade on their own. You should also remember that most worries are about things that never happen. Research shows that a huge percentage of what people worry about never comes true. Think back on your life. How many times did you lose sleep over something that never actually happened? And even if it did happen, was worrying beforehand useful? Did it prepare you better, or did it only steal your energy? You already know the answer. So, the solution is simple. Face your worries and stop letting them repeat daily. Give them one chance to be acknowledged, then move on. If they require action, take the action. If they are outside your control, release them. This is not avoidance, it is strength. It is choosing not to be a prisoner of your own mind. The more you practice this, the stronger you become. You begin to notice your thoughts without being controlled by them. You start living in the present instead of living in repeated fears of the past or the future. You feel more focused when working, more calm when resting, more engaged when spending time with people. Life becomes clearer because your mind is no longer crowded with the same recycled worries. And here is the most important part. When you face your worries, you build resilience. Resilience is not about never having worries. It is about not letting them rule you. It is about bouncing back quickly, keeping perspective, and continuing forward. The person who faces their worries daily becomes stronger than the person who hides from them or repeats them endlessly. You owe it to yourself to live with clarity. You owe it to yourself to stop giving days, weeks, and years to the same thoughts that go nowhere. Every day is a chance to grow, to act, to improve, to live fully. But you cannot do that if you are trapped in an endless cycle of worry. So today, face your worry. Say it clearly. Decide what you can do about it. Refuse to repeat it tomorrow if it serves no purpose. Protect your time, your energy, and your peace. The simple solution is not to keep thinking. It is to stop letting the same thought own your life. That is how you break free from overthinking. That is how you begin to live with clarity and strength. That is how you take back control of your mind and your future. Chapter 2. Break big problems into small steps you can handle. When you face a big problem, your mind often reacts with tension. The size of the problem feels overwhelming, and instead of seeing what can be done, you only see what is impossible. The weight of it builds up, and the more you stare at the problem as one huge block, the more powerless you feel. That powerlessness turns into hesitation, and hesitation grows into overthinking. You imagine every outcome, every obstacle, every worst-case scenario, and in that endless imagining, you do nothing. The problem sits there, and you keep circling it without progress. The truth is, no big problem is solved all at once. No meaningful achievement is ever completed in a single move. Human progress, personal growth, career success, relationships, health and financial stability all depend on a principle that never fails, breaking things down into steps small enough to handle. It is the only way to move forward when the road feels too long. Think about your life right now. You might have financial stress, health concerns, unfinished goals, or responsibilities that weigh on you. Each of these feels massive when looked at in its entirety. But if you break them into small, specific tasks, they stop looking like mountains and start looking like a set of stones you can walk across. For example, if you are in debt, the problem as a whole might feel unbearable. But when you break it down into identifying exactly how much you owe, choosing one small payment to make, cutting one unnecessary expense, and creating one plan to repeat each month, suddenly the problem has a structure. It is no longer endless. It is something you can move through step by step. Psychology teaches us that the brain cannot handle undefined stress. When a problem is vague, the mind keeps spinning. But when the problem is broken into small, defined parts, the stress is reduced, and clarity takes over. You can only control what is clear. That is why breaking down problems gives immediate relief. It gives the brain something concrete to focus on, and when you act on that first small part, you begin to rebuild your confidence. Think of a student who has to write a long thesis or prepare for final exams. If they sit and think about the entire workload, it will feel impossible. They might overthink so much that they procrastinate. But if they break it down one chapter at a time, one subject at a time, 1 hour of study at a time, the task becomes manageable, the stress decreases, and action becomes possible. It is the same with every big challenge in life. Many people overthink because they believe they must figure everything out before starting. They want the full picture, the complete certainty, the perfect plan from start to finish. But life doesn't work that way. Life rewards those who take the first step, not those who wait for everything to be clear. You do not need to know step 10 before you take step 1. You only need to know enough to move forward today. Once step 1 is complete, step 2 reveals itself, then step 3, and so on. That is the simple solution to overthinking. Stop trying to solve everything at once, and instead, solve one small part. When you break a problem into steps, you create momentum. Momentum is the feeling of movement, of progress, of forward direction. And momentum is powerful because it gives you confidence to continue. A person who takes one small action towards solving their problem feels better than a person who thinks about it for hours without acting. One paid bill feels better than endless stress about all bills. One workout feels better than weeks of guilt about poor health. One honest conversation feels better than years of silence in a broken relationship. Progress comes from starting small. Breaking big problems into steps also teaches discipline. It forces you to commit to the process rather than being paralyzed by the outcome. If your goal is to run a marathon, you do not wake up and run 42 kilometers. You run 1 kilometer today. Tomorrow you run 2. The day after you run 3. Slowly, your strength builds. The same principle applies to mental, financial, and personal challenges. You build strength step by step. Another benefit of breaking things down is that it creates measurable wins. Overthinking often comes from the fear of never finishing, never succeeding, never overcoming. But if you give yourself small steps, you give yourself small victories. Each victory tells your mind, "I can do this. I am making progress." Over time, those victories add up to major change. Without the small wins, you remain stuck in the shadow of the big problem, unable to move forward. Let's consider relationships. If you feel disconnected from someone you care about, you may see the entire relationship as broken. That can overwhelm you and make you avoid dealing with it. But if you break it down into smaller actions, sending one kind message, planning one conversation, listening with patience one evening, you begin to rebuild. You do not fix a relationship overnight. You heal it through small, consistent actions. The same applies to health. If you want to lose weight or improve your fitness, thinking about the full goal will likely paralyze you. But breaking it into eating one healthier meal today, drinking more water today, walking for 20 minutes today makes it possible. Tomorrow you repeat. Each step is small enough to handle, but together they transform your health. Why do so many people avoid this approach? Because they think small steps are too simple. They want big solutions. They want overnight change. They believe if they are not solving everything at once, they are not making progress. That belief keeps them stuck in overthinking. The truth is, every big achievement is built from simple daily actions. There is no other way. You must train your mind to stop asking, "How do I solve everything?" and start asking, "What small step can I take today?" That question cuts through the noise. It focuses your energy. It frees you from the heavy feeling of carrying the entire problem at once. Think about the emotional relief this brings. Imagine waking up and instead of drowning in thoughts about your whole future, you ask, "What can I do in the next hour to move forward?" That clarity brings peace. It gives your mind space to breathe. It removes the unnecessary stress of imagining the entire journey at once. There is also a deeper psychological truth here. The brain responds to completion. Finishing even the smallest task releases a sense of satisfaction. It tells your mind that you are capable, that you are moving, that you are not stuck. This satisfaction pushes you to continue. Overthinking, on the other hand, never brings that satisfaction. It only brings more doubts. By breaking problems into steps, you move from endless thought to real results. One strategy you can use is writing down the big problem, then dividing it into the smallest possible actions. For example, if your problem is finding a new career, write down, "Update resume, reach out to one contact, apply to one job." Once you take the first step, you feel lighter. Once you complete the second, you feel stronger. Soon, the big problem no longer feels like a giant wall, it feels like a path you are already walking. Another strategy is to focus only on today. Ask yourself, what step can I complete before I sleep tonight? That question keeps you grounded. It prevents you from spinning into tomorrow's worries. Tomorrow has its own steps, but today you only need to finish one. That is manageable, that is simple, that is powerful. You also need patience. Small steps may not feel dramatic, but they are building the foundation for lasting change. The person who takes one small step every day will always beat the person who waits for the perfect plan. Over time, consistency wins. Progress is not about speed. It is about steady movement in the right direction. Breaking problems down also teaches responsibility. It reminds you that waiting for everything to change at once is unrealistic. You must take responsibility for each small part. You must own the steps, and as you own them, you begin to see yourself differently. You stop identifying as a person trapped by problems, and you start identifying as a person who takes action. That shift in identity is powerful. It creates self-respect, and self-respect destroys overthinking. Remember this: big problems do not destroy people. The habit of overthinking them does. Breaking them into small steps not only solves the problems, but also builds the mindset you need for future challenges. Because once you learn to handle problems step by step, you are no longer afraid of difficulty. You trust yourself. You know that no matter how big the problem, you can break it down and move forward. So take a moment now. Think of the biggest problem in your life. Write it down. Break it into the smallest step you can handle today, then take that step. That simple action will do more for your peace of mind than 1,000 hours of repeating the same worry. Because when you take small steps, you are no longer a prisoner of your thoughts, you are a creator of your future. That is the solution. Stop looking at the size of your problems, stop overthinking every detail, start breaking them into steps that you can handle. Start building progress one action at a time. Over time, you will look back and realize the problem that once felt impossible is behind you. And you overcame it not by thinking endlessly, but by acting daily.
Chapter 3. Decide once and stop reopening the same choice again. One of the greatest thieves of peace is the habit of reopening decisions that should have already been settled. You know what it feels like. You make a choice, you feel a sense of direction, and then the next day you go back to the same decision and start questioning it again. Should I have done that? Should I have chosen differently? Should I change my mind now? You replay the same thought over and over until the choice that once gave you clarity now feels like another heavy problem. This cycle keeps you stuck in hesitation. It blocks progress, it drains energy, and it steals the confidence you need to move forward. When you decide once, you free yourself from endless debate. That is the power of commitment. It is not about rushing into decisions without thought. It is about giving a decision your best judgment in the moment and then respecting that decision by moving forward, reopening it every day. Shows that you do not trust yourself, and when you do not trust yourself, you weaken your ability to act. If you want to stop overthinking, you must build the discipline of finality, making a decision once and living with it, instead of tearing it apart again and again. Life is not perfect. No decision comes with absolute certainty. Waiting for absolute certainty is one of the biggest traps. You could spend your entire life trying to find the perfect choice, but that search is endless because life will always carry risk. The way to grow is not to eliminate all risk, but to accept that your choice carries some unknowns and move forward anyway. When you keep reopening decisions, you are really chasing an impossible guarantee. You are looking for proof that does not exist, and while you wait, your life remains on pause, Think about how many areas of life this affects. Career choices, relationships, education, health routines, financial decisions. You choose one path, then you spend days or weeks wondering if the other path was better. You waste time and emotional energy looking backward instead of building momentum forward. That constant reopening is exhausting because you are never fully in one place. You are stuck between where you are and where you might have been. That is not living with clarity. That is living in hesitation. The solution is simple. Decide once. Give yourself time to think. Weigh the options. Gather the facts. Listen to your values. Then make the best decision you can with the information you have. After that, stop reopening it. Train yourself to say, I have decided, and now I will put my energy into action. That mindset saves you from the mental loop of doubt. It gives you stability. It strengthens your self-trust. One of the reasons people reopen decisions is fear of regret. They worry that the choice they made will turn out wrong. So they keep looking back, hoping to find reassurance. But regret is not avoided by endless thinking. Regret is avoided by living fully in the choice you made. If it does not go as planned, you adjust, you learn, you grow. That is how humans develop wisdom. But if you never commit, you never give yourself the chance to see what you are capable of. You stay trapped in mental rehearsals of what might happen. Another reason people reopen decisions is outside influence. Someone makes a comment, shares their opinion, or questions your choice, and suddenly your confidence weakens. You start thinking, maybe they're right. Maybe I made a mistake. That is why you must learn to own your choices. Advice is helpful, but once you have chosen, it is your responsibility to carry it forward. If you let every outside opinion reopen your decisions, you will spend your life serving other people's doubts instead of your own direction. There is also the issue of perfectionism. Many people believe there is one perfect decision, and unless they find it, they cannot move. That belief fuels overthinking, but the truth is, most progress in life comes from good decisions, consistently acted upon, not from perfect decisions. Perfect does not exist. What exists is your ability to choose, commit, act, and adjust along the way. A good decision, carried with discipline, is always better than a perfect decision never made. When you decide once, you create space for action. Your energy is no longer wasted on repeating the same debate. You can focus fully on execution. You can put all your effort into making the decision work. That is where growth happens. That is where results come. People who succeed are not people who always made perfect choices. They are people who decided once and then gave that choice their best effort. Think about the stress relief this brings. Imagine no longer replaying the same choice in your head every morning. Imagine the calm of knowing, I've already made this decision, and now I will live it out. That clarity removes the noise. It allows you to invest your thoughts in building, creating, connecting, and living, instead of endlessly circling the same mental track. Practical strategies can help you strengthen this habit. One is setting a time limit for decisions. Give yourself a clear deadline to decide. The deadline creates pressure to think seriously and prevents endless postponement. Another strategy is writing down your reasons for the decision at the moment you make it. Later, when doubt tries to reopen the choice, you can look back and remind yourself of the clarity you had. A third strategy is practicing small commitments daily. Start with minor decisions. What to eat, what to wear, how to spend the next hour, and train yourself not to revisit them. Over time, this builds the mental muscle to handle bigger decisions with the same finality. Emotionally, you must learn to sit with uncertainty. No decision is free from risk, and that is okay. Part of maturity is learning to carry some uncertainty without needing to reopen the choice constantly. You remind yourself, I do not need to know everything. I need to move forward with what I know. That gives you peace. That gives you strength. When you look back on your life, you will not regret the decisions you made with courage and commitment. You will regret the ones you never made, because you were too busy reopening them in your mind. You will regret the time lost, the opportunities missed, the growth delayed. Deciding once saves you from that regret. It gives you a chance to live fully in the direction you chose. There is a deep link between decision and identity. Every time you decide once and stand by it, you tell yourself, I am someone who can be trusted. That self-trust is the foundation of confidence. Without it, you depend on the approval of others, the endless search for certainty, or the comfort of indecision. With it, you can move with strength, even in uncertainty. You can live without the constant noise of doubt. This principle also builds resilience. Life will test your decisions. Some will work out beautifully, some will not. But if you decide once and follow through, you develop resilience through experience. You learn from outcomes. You grow stronger with each challenge. But if you keep reopening decisions, you never give yourself the chance to grow. You remain in the safety of thought, but never in the reality of action. Imagine the difference in your daily life if you adopted this mindset. Instead of spending hours in the same debate, you would be spending hours building, learning, creating, and progressing. Instead of living with hesitation, you would live with commitment. Instead of being drained by overthinking, you would be energized by action. That shift alone can transform your confidence and direction. So take one area of your life right now where you have been stuck reopening the same choice. Make the decision today. Write it down. Say it out loud. And then commit to not reopening it tomorrow. Carry it forward with discipline. If adjustments are needed later, you will make them. But do not let yourself circle back into hesitation. Give your mind the relief of closure. Give your energy the freedom to build. This is not about being careless with decisions. It is about respecting your choices. Once you have made them, it is about giving yourself the gift of finality, so that your life is not wasted in repetition. Decide once. Trust yourself. Put your full effort into the path you have chosen. That is the simple solution to endless doubt. That is how you stop overthinking the same decision, again and again. That is how you reclaim your peace and move forward with strength.
Chapter 4. Give your mind rest by focusing on one task. Your mind was not designed to handle 10 things at once. When you scatter your focus across many different tasks, responsibilities, and worries, your mental energy gets drained. You feel restless. You feel exhausted before the day is even half over. And yet, nothing meaningful gets finished. Overthinking thrives in that scattered state because your mind is jumping between problems without ever giving full attention to one. That is why your thoughts feel so loud and messy. The mind is overloaded, and it needs relief. The way you give your mind rest is not by doing nothing, it is by choosing one task and staying with it until it is done. Most people confuse busyness with productivity. They think if they are juggling many things at once, they are being effective. But the truth is, multitasking is one of the greatest traps. Every switch from one task to another comes with a cost. Your brain has to refocus each time, and that constant switching is exhausting. You may not notice it immediately, but by the end of the day, you feel drained and unsatisfied because nothing was completed with depth. This is why many people lie in bed at night with a restless mind. Their thoughts are scattered because their actions were scattered. When you focus on one task, something powerful happens. Your mind becomes quieter,
The noise begins to fade because your attention is no longer split in many directions. Instead of juggling, you are building. Instead of scattering, you are creating order. Even your body feels the difference. Your breathing slows. Your shoulders relax. Your energy stabilizes. There is peace in simplicity. And in that simplicity, your effectiveness multiplies. Think of a craftsman working on a piece of wood. If he gives it his full attention, each cut is precise, each detail sharp, each finish smooth. The work has quality. But if he tries to rush between many different pieces, none of them receive the care they need. That same principle applies to your life. Whether it is your work, your health, your studies, or your relationships, quality comes from full focus. Overthinking often begins because the mind tries to process too much at once. You think about unfinished work while you eat. You think about your personal life while you work. You think about future problems while you are with family. Each thought interrupts another, and the result is constant mental noise. Choosing one task at a time stops this storm. You tell your mind, right now, this is what I will give my energy to. That clear boundary gives relief. You no longer have to carry everything in your head at once. Start small. If you are eating, just eat. Notice the food, the taste, the act of nourishing your body. If you are talking with someone, just talk with them. Listen fully without reaching for your phone or planning your response while they speak. If you are working on a project, shut off distractions and give it your full focus until the task is complete. You will be surprised at how much calmer and stronger your mind feels when it is not pulled in 10 directions. Some people resist this because they believe they don't have time to focus on one thing. They think focusing on many things at once saves time. But in reality, it costs more time. Doing 10 things halfway takes longer than doing one thing completely and moving on to the next. When you finish something fully, you free your mind from it. It no longer lingers in your thoughts. That is rest. That is peace. Unfinished tasks, on the other hand, keep circling in your head, demanding attention and creating stress. There is a direct connection between focus and confidence. When you complete one task with full attention, you feel capable. You see progress. That progress builds belief in yourself. On the other hand, when you scatter your attention, you see little progress, and your self-belief weakens. You begin to think, I'm always behind, I'm never enough. But the truth is, you are not behind. You are simply divided. Division creates doubt. Focus creates confidence. This principle applies not only to tasks, but also to goals. Trying to chase 5 big goals at once often leads to frustration. But when you choose one primary goal and put your attention on it daily, results come faster. Success is not about doing everything. It is about doing the right things with full focus. When you spread your energy thin, you make little impact anywhere. When you direct it toward one thing, you create momentum. Your mind craves completion. That is why it feels restless when you leave too many things undone. The brain likes closure. It wants to finish what was started. Every unfinished task is like a door left open. It drains energy until it is closed. Focusing on one task allows you to close those doors. You finish. You move on. That sense of completion gives your mind a practical way to live this out is to begin your day with the most important task and give it your full attention until it is finished. Do not allow yourself to move to the next thing until it is complete. This trains your mind to resist distraction. Over time, your ability to focus grows stronger and your capacity for work increases. You get more done with less stress. Another method is to clear your environment of distractions. If you are working, silence your phone. If you are resting, step away from your work tool. Teach your environment to match your intention. When your surroundings are aligned with your focus, your mind finds it easier to stay on one task. You must also learn to say no. Every demand on your time is not equal. If you say yes to everything, your attention becomes scattered. Protect your focus by saying no to what does not matter right now. Choose what is essential and give it your best. This discipline is not about doing less. It is about doing what truly counts. There is a mental strength that comes from simplicity. A person who can stay with one task, despite distractions, is a person who can lead themselves, and self-leadership is the foundation of success. Without it, you are pulled by every new thought, every new message, every new demand. With it, you become steady. You are no longer a victim of distraction. You are the master of your attention. Emotionally, this brings freedom. You no longer feel pulled in 100 directions. You no longer feel like your mind is on fire with endless unfinished thoughts. Instead, you feel calm, centered, present. That presence improves not only your work, but also your relationships and your health. People can feel when you are with them fully. Your body can feel when your mind is not overworked. Your soul can feel when life is lived with clarity instead of noise. Breaking free from overthinking is not about shutting down your mind. It is about directing it. You cannot stop thoughts from existing, but you can choose which ones get your attention. Focusing on one task is the discipline of saying, this thought, this action, this moment deserves me now. The rest can wait. That is how you give your mind the rest it desperately needs. The beauty of this practice is that it builds over time. The more you train your focus, the easier it becomes. At first your mind will resist. It will want to jump, wander and scatter. But if you gently bring it back to one task, again and again, it learns. Soon focus becomes natural. Soon rest becomes your daily experience. Life is not about doing more, it is about doing what matters with presence. The quality of your days is determined by the quality of your focus. If you are scattered, your life feels scattered. If you are focused, your life feels meaningful. You cannot find peace in chaos. You find peace in clarity, and clarity comes when you give your full attention to one task at a time. So make this a rule for yourself. Whatever you are doing, give it all of you. If you are working, work with focus. If you are resting, rest completely. If you are with people, be fully there. Do not divide your attention between the present and 1,000 other things. That division is the root of overthinking. Unity of focus is the root of peace. Your mind is precious. It carries your ideas, your decisions, your future. Do not exhaust it with constant switching and unfinished thoughts. Protect it by keeping it simple. One task, one focus, one step at a time. That is how you find rest in a busy world. That is how you stop overthinking and start living with strength.
Chapter 5. Train yourself to act before fear builds more doubts. Fear has a way of multiplying when it is left unchecked. The moment you hesitate, the mind starts building stories. You imagine what could go wrong. You exaggerate the risks. You question your ability. And every second that passes without action gives fear more space to grow. What was once a simple step now looks like a mountain. What could have been handled with calm effort now feels impossible. The solution is to move before fear has time to expand. The faster you act, the less room doubt has to enter. Human beings are wired to protect themselves from danger. But in today's world, fear often shows up in situations that do not threaten your survival. Speaking up in a meeting, making a phone call, applying for an opportunity, or starting a new routine can trigger the same reaction. Your body feels tense. Your breathing changes. Your thoughts speed up. If you wait, the discomfort increases. But if you act immediately, the tension often fades because the action itself breaks the cycle. Think about times in your life when you delayed. Maybe you wanted to start a conversation, but you paused. Within minutes, your mind created reasons not to. You told yourself the timing was wrong, the other person might not respond well, or you were not ready. Hours later, the chance was gone,
and all you had left was regret. Now think about times when you acted quickly. You spoke before your doubts grew louder. You applied before your excuses formed. You moved before hesitation took control. In those moments, you discovered that the fear was smaller than you thought. Action shrinks fear. Delay feeds it. Training yourself to act before fear builds more doubts is about building a new habit. The habit of moving quickly when you feel the first sign of hesitation. The habit of stepping forward instead of stepping back. This is not about being reckless or ignoring wisdom. It is about understanding that your first instinct to move is often the most accurate, and hesitation usually brings unnecessary obstacles. One way to train this is by practicing immediate action on small tasks. When you think of sending a message, send. When you think of standing up to stretch, stand up. When you think of making that call, dial the number. These small acts train your mind and body to move quickly, instead of negotiating with fear. Over time, the habit grows stronger, and when bigger moments arrive, you are prepared to act. Another approach is to set rules for yourself that prevent delay. For example, you might decide, if a task can be done in 2 minutes, I will do it immediately. Or, if I have already thought about it twice, I must take the first step. These rules give structure to your behavior. They bypass the endless debate in your head. Instead of leaving space for doubt, you create a pattern of quick action. You must also recognize the physical signs of fear. Fear often shows up in the body before it shows up in the mind. Your heart beats faster. Your palms sweat. Your stomach feels tight. The key is to see these signals, not as warnings to stop, but as reminders to move. When you feel that rush, it is your signal to act, not to freeze. If you can connect physical fear with immediate action, you will retrain your response. What once paralyzed you will become the very trigger that pushes you forward. There is power in momentum. Once you take the first step, the second becomes easier. Fear is strongest before action begins. Once movement starts, fear weakens. That is why the hardest part of going to the gym is putting on your shoes. The hardest part of studying is opening the book. The hardest part of writing is typing the first sentence. Once you are in motion, your mind adjusts, your body follows, and the fear loses its strength. Consider how this plays out in opportunities. Many people miss life-changing chances, not because they were incapable, but because they waited too long. They let fear build until they convinced themselves it was not worth trying. They overanalyzed, doubted, and delayed until the window closed. The people who move forward are not necessarily smarter or more talented. They are the ones who acted before fear became stronger than their desire. This principle also applies to personal growth. If you want to change your life, you cannot wait until you feel ready. Readiness rarely arrives before action. Confidence is not something you build in your head, it is something you earn through doing. The more you act, the more capable you feel. The more capable you feel, the more willing you are to act again. It becomes a cycle of growth, but that cycle only begins when you act before fear grows. It is important to understand that fear does not disappear with thinking. You cannot think your way into courage. You cannot reason fear out of existence. Fear dissolves in the face of action. Each time you move forward despite discomfort, you send a message to yourself, I can handle this. That message becomes part of your identity. Soon fear loses its power because you know through experience that it cannot stop you. Practical exercises can help strengthen this mindset. One exercise is called immediate action challenges. Each day, give yourself one situation where you commit to acting quickly. It could be introducing yourself to someone new, trying a new skill, or volunteering to take responsibility at work. The goal is not perfection, it is speed. By repeating this practice, you condition yourself to move before hesitation has time to grow. Another exercise is visualization, followed by action. Spend a few moments each morning, imagining situations where fear might hold you back. Picture yourself taking action quickly in each case. Then when the real moment comes, follow through without delay. Visualization primes your mind, but action seals the lesson. You can also practice this in group settings. Accountability strengthens habits. If you tell a friend or a mentor about your intention to act quickly, you create pressure to follow through. External accountability can help you override the inner voice of doubt until your discipline is strong enough to stand alone. Think about how your life would change if you lived by this principle. How many opportunities would you capture if you acted before fear grew? How many regrets would disappear if you trained yourself to move instead of waiting? How much lighter would your mind feel if doubt never had the chance to spiral into overthinking? There is freedom in quick action. You no longer waste energy imagining every possible outcome. You no longer carry the stress of constant hesitation. You live with clarity because you move when it matters. Your self-respect grows because you trust yourself to act, and with every step forward, you build a stronger identity, a person who does not bow to fear but uses action to rise above it. This habit will not develop overnight, but each day you can practice. Each day you can take one moment of hesitation and replace it with action. Each day you can shrink fear by moving faster than it can grow. And with each repetition, you will notice something powerful. Life feels more open. Possibilities appear. Progress becomes consistent. Overthinking fades because there is no time for it to take root. The choice is always in your hands. You can let fear grow by waiting, or you can cut it off by acting. You can give your energy to doubts, or you can give it to progress. You cannot control the presence of fear, but you can control your response, and the strongest response is simple. Act before fear builds more doubts. When you live this way, you begin to experience life differently. Decisions become quicker, opportunities become visible, growth becomes natural. Fear will still appear, but it will no longer control you. It will no longer paralyze you. Instead, it will become the reminder that now is the time to move. That is the discipline that separates those who stay stuck from those who move forward. That is the practice that transforms hesitation into confidence. So train yourself daily. Move when you feel hesitation. Act before fear grows. Build the habit of quick, decisive action. Do not give doubt the chance to multiply. The reward is peace of mind, strength of character, and a life built on progress instead of regret. Chapter 6. Stop chasing what if and start dealing with what is. So much of human struggle comes from living in the world of what if. You know the voice. What if I fail? What if they reject me? What if the future does not work out? What if I lose everything I build? These questions are endless and they have no finish line. The mind can create a thousand possible outcomes, and the more you chase them, the more trapped you become. The what-if world is endless because it is built on imagination, not reality. You cannot solve it because it does not exist. And the more energy you give it, the less strength you have to deal with the life that is actually in front of you. When you chase what-if, you carry fear for problems that are not real. You carry anxiety about situations that may never come. You live in stress about futures that are not guaranteed. This is why so many people feel exhausted without moving forward. They spend their energy running after shadows. Life becomes lighter when you stop chasing those shadows and deal with what is real today. The reality in front of you is not perfect, but it is something you can touch, see, and act upon. That is where your power is. Imagine someone worried about losing their job. They ask themselves every day, what if the company closes? What if I get fired? What if I can't provide for my family? The worry grows and steals their focus. They become distracted at work, their performance drops, and their fear begins to shape reality. But if they dealt with what is, they would look at their current situation clearly. They might see opportunities to improve their skills, take on new responsibilities, or search for other roles while still employed. Instead of drowning in what if, they would use their energy to prepare for real possibilities. The fear would shrink because it would be replaced with practical action. This principle applies everywhere. In relationships, people chase what-if scenarios about rejection, betrayal, or loss, and in doing so, they lose presence in the connection they already have. In health, people worry about future illness instead of taking the steps today that strengthen their body. In personal goals, people imagine all the ways they might fail and never begin. The tragedy is not in the imagined future, it is in the wasted present. The mind craves certainty, and that is why it runs toward what if. It believes if it explores enough possible scenarios, it will find safety. But true safety never comes from endless mental rehearsals. True safety comes from the ability to face reality and act within it. The unknown will always exist. The question is not whether the unknown will disappear. The question is whether you will live paralyzed by it or move forward despite it. You train yourself to stop chasing what if by learning to recognize it. The next time your mind runs to the future, pause and ask, is this real right now, or is this imagination? If it is imagination, stop feeding it. If it is real, decide what action you can take today. This simple distinction can save you hours of wasted energy. The habit of separating what is real from what is imagined is a skill worth developing. Another practice is grounding yourself in the present moment. Look around you, notice what you are actually dealing with now. You are not dealing with every possible future. You are dealing with this day, this hour, this task. Focus on handling what is in front of you, and suddenly, the weight of what if becomes smaller. Life becomes manageable when you keep your attention on the part of it that actually exists. You also need to understand that fear thrives in the absence of action. What if questions are often signals that you are avoiding something. Instead of addressing the real situation, you escape into endless possibilities. Action breaks this cycle. If you are worried about failing an exam, instead of repeating "what if I fail" in your head, pick up the material and study. If you are worried about being rejected, instead of circling "what if they say no," have the conversation and see what happens. When you act, the cloud of doubt clears because reality reveals itself. Some people say, "but what if the worst happens?" The answer is simple. If it happens, you will deal with it then. Worrying about it in advance does not make you stronger. It only makes you weaker because you spend your strength on problems that are not here yet. Most of the time, the worst does not happen. And even if it does, you are more capable of handling it when you are not drained from years of unnecessary fear. There is also a psychological cost to chasing what if. It damages your confidence. Every time you choose imagination over reality, you teach yourself that you cannot be trusted to face life as it is. You reinforce the idea that you must run from reality into endless scenarios. Over time, this becomes a habit of insecurity. But when you deal with what is, you build self-trust. You tell yourself, "I am capable of handling what is real. I can face life directly." That message builds resilience. Consider how much lighter your life would feel if you stopped feeding what-if thoughts. How much energy would you save if you no longer carried the weight of futures that may never happen? Imagine waking up and focusing only on what you can actually do today. Imagine ending your day knowing you dealt with real challenges instead of imaginary ones. That is clarity. That is peace. Practical strategies help. One is writing down your worries. When you see them on paper, ask yourself which of these are happening now and which are only imagined. The imagined ones get no more attention. The real ones get an action plan. Another strategy is time-limiting your worries. Give yourself 15 minutes to think about future possibilities, then stop. Outside that time, when what-if thoughts appear, remind yourself, "I'll deal with it in my scheduled time." Often by the time the schedule arrives, the worry feels smaller or irrelevant. You can also practice focusing on if you worry about finances, list exactly what you have, what you owe,
and what you spend. Facts remove the fog of what if. If you worry about health, check with a professional instead of letting your imagination build diseases. Facts give you something real to work with. It is also important to surround yourself with people who live in reality. If you spend time with those who constantly feed what if thinking, you will inherit their habit. Choose to spend time with people who focus on solutions, who ask what can we do now, who live with their feet in the present. Their presence will strengthen your own discipline. The discipline of dealing with what is also builds courage. Life is not free from difficulty, but difficulty becomes smaller when faced directly. The person who can meet reality without running builds strength that cannot be shaken. They are not distracted by imagined disaster. They are focused on today's responsibilities, today's opportunities, and today's solutions. That courage creates stability, and stability brings peace. Your mind will always try to wander. It will always try to predict. That is part of being human. But you do not have to follow it into every what if. You can choose to bring it back to what is real. Each time you do, you regain power. Each time you refuse to chase the imaginary, you protect your energy for the real. Over time, this habit becomes natural. You become someone who sees clearly, acts practically, and lives with presence. The truth is, the present moment is enough. It may not be perfect, but it is real. And reality is the only place you can grow. The future will come, and when it does, you will meet it with the strength you built today. But if you spend all your time chasing futures that never arrive, you will miss the only life you truly have, the one happening right now. So stop chasing what if. Stop feeding your imagination with endless doubts and fears. Start dealing with what is in front of you. Take responsibility for today. Act on the real challenges. Enjoy the real joys. Build the real progress. That is where peace is found. That is where life is lived.
Chapter 7. Limit negative voices around you to protect clear thinking. Your thoughts are shaped not only by what you tell yourself, but also by the voices you allow around you. Every conversation you hear, every opinion you absorb, every tone you accept, has the power to strengthen your confidence or weaken it. Negative voices carry weight. They plant seeds of doubt, they cloud your judgment, and they make clear thinking much harder than it needs to be. If you are serious about building focus and direction in life, you must learn the discipline of limiting the negative voices that surround you. Negative voices come in many forms. Sometimes they are people you know well, family members, friends, co-workers, who speak more about problems than solutions. Other times they come through what you consume. Media filled with criticism, online spaces overflowing with complaints or conversations where people tear down instead of build up. The danger is not just in hearing these voices once, the danger is in repetition. When you hear discouragement again and again, it can slowly creep into your thinking until you believe it yourself. The human mind is vulnerable to influence. That is why marketing works, why culture spreads, why ideas shape generations. You cannot completely escape influence, but you can choose which influences you allow to stay close. If you give constant access to negative voices, you will live in doubt. If you protect your space and surround yourself with strength, your mind will think with clarity. Think about the times you shared an idea with someone who immediately told you all the reasons it would not work. Their words may have been quick, but the impact lingers. Hours later, you still hear their tone. Days later, you still replay their doubts. That one negative voice can overpower 10 positive ones if you allow it too much space. This is why boundaries are essential. Protecting your mind is not selfish, it is necessary for growth. Clear thinking depends on input. If you feed your mind negativity, confusion will follow. If you feed your mind encouragement, clarity will follow. Many people struggle with overthinking not because they lack ability, but because they are weighed down by voices that constantly question them.
The mind begins to mirror the noise it hears. To think clearly, you must clean your environment of unnecessary noise. Limiting negative voices does not always mean cutting people off completely. It means reducing how much space you give them in your daily life. If someone is constantly negative, shorten the time you spend with them. If certain online spaces drain you, step away from them. If media leaves you anxious and restless, choose healthier sources. Every adjustment you make frees mental energy for more important things. Some people fear creating distance from negative voices because they do not want to seem rude or harsh, but protecting your thinking is an act of responsibility, not cruelty. You cannot think for someone else, but you can control the environment in which you think. You are the guardian of your mental space, and that role requires courage. Consider how much your life could change if you built an environment where your ideas were supported instead of doubted, where your growth was encouraged instead of mocked, where your progress was celebrated instead of criticized. The same person placed in two different environments will think and act in completely different ways. Environment is that powerful. By limiting negative voices, you take control of your environment and give yourself the best chance to grow. You also need to recognize the difference between constructive feedback and negative voices. Constructive feedback points you toward improvement with respect and clarity. It may not always be easy to hear, but it builds you up. Negative voices tear down without offering solutions. They focus on failure without suggesting growth. Learning to separate the two is essential. Do not confuse negativity with wisdom. True wisdom lifts you even when it challenges you. Protecting clear thinking also requires that you examine your own inner voice. Sometimes the loudest negative voice is not outside but inside. The way you talk to yourself has enormous influence. If your self-talk is constantly critical, it will drown out clarity. You must train your inner voice to be firm but fair, realistic but encouraging. Think to yourself the way a wise mentor would, not the way a critic would. By strengthening your inner voice, you make it easier to resist the outer negative ones. Another strategy is to actively fill your life with positive voices. Read books that challenge you to grow. Listen to people who have built lives of discipline and clarity. Spend time with individuals who believe in progress and act on it. Positive voices are not just comforting, they are powerful reminders of what is possible. They give you models to follow, and they reinforce clarity when doubts try to creep in. There is also a time factor. The more time you spend with negativity, the harder it becomes to think clearly. That is why one short but uplifting conversation can sometimes give you more energy than hours spent in negative environments. Time is influence. Use it wisely. Limit the negative. Increase the positive. Your thinking will reflect the balance. Be especially careful during seasons of struggle. When you are tired, stressed, or uncertain, you are more vulnerable to negativity. That is when negative voices feel the heaviest. In those moments, choose carefully who you allow close. Seek out people and sources that remind you of your strength, not ones that magnify your weakness. Protecting your mind in times of challenge is one of the strongest habits you can build. This discipline will not always be easy. Some negative voices may be people you cannot remove entirely from your life. In those cases, you must strengthen your boundary. Do not let their words become your beliefs. Learn to filter. You may hear the negativity, but you do not have to absorb it. Practice saying inwardly, "That belongs to them, not to me." Over time, you will build the skill of staying clear, even in the presence of doubt. Clear thinking is essential for any kind of progress. Without clarity, your decisions are clouded, your actions hesitant, your goals scattered. With clarity, you move with direction. You trust your judgment, you see opportunity, and clarity cannot survive in an environment dominated by negativity. That is why this step is so important, limiting negative voices is not optional. If you want to grow, it is fundamental. Imagine your mind as a room. Everything you allow into that room stays there. Some voices bring light, others bring clutter. If you never clean the room, you will live surrounded by confusion. But if you guard the door and allow only what strengthens you, the room becomes a place of peace and focus. That is the kind of mental environment you need to build. Your future depends on the quality of your thinking. The quality of your thinking depends on the voices you allow around you. Choose carefully. Limit the negative. Protect your clarity. Feed your mind with strength. Over time, you will notice that decisions come easier. Actions flow with less hesitation, and life feels more steady. The discipline of limiting negative voices is one of the most practical ways to stop overthinking. Without constant criticism and noise, your mind is free to focus on solutions. Instead of replaying doubts, you will spend your energy on building progress. Instead of being dragged down, you will rise. So make the decision today. Step back from the voices that drain you. Reduce the time you spend in environments that cloud your thinking. Seek out the people and ideas that strengthen you. Build a life where clarity is protected. The more you guard your mental space, the more peace and strength you will carry into every part of your life.
Chapter 8. Learn to release control and trust the process instead. One of the hardest lessons in life is realizing you cannot control everything. You may plan carefully, you may prepare well, you may work with all your energy, but life still moves on its own terms. Circumstances change. People make choices you cannot predict. Opportunities shift and setbacks arrive without warning. If you spend your life trying to control every detail, you will never find peace. Control can give the illusion of safety, but in reality, it becomes the very cause of stress and overthinking. The more you try to hold on tightly, the more anxious you become. The solution is learning to release control and trust the process instead. Trusting the process does not mean ignoring responsibility. It does not mean living passively or hoping everything turns out well without effort. Trusting the process means doing your part, showing up, giving your best, making wise choices, and then releasing the outcome. It means understanding that some results take time, some situations unfold gradually, and your growth cannot always be rushed. You take action where you can, and you accept that not everything belongs in your hands. That is not weakness. That is wisdom. Overthinking often comes from the need for certainty. People ask themselves, will this work? Will it fail? Will they accept me? Will I succeed? They want to control the answer before they even begin. But life does not give you the future in advance. Life gives you the present moment, and your role is to act in it. When you demand total certainty, you freeze. When you accept uncertainty and trust the process, you move forward with strength. Consider the growth of a seed. You plant it, water it, and make sure it receives sunlight. But once it is in the ground, you cannot force it to grow faster. You cannot dig it up every day to check on its roots. Your job is to care for it, and then you wait. The process of growth is invisible for a time, but it is happening. If you interfere too much, you damage it. In the same way, your own growth often takes place out of sight. Results are not always immediate. But if you do your part and give life space to work, progress comes. Releasing control is not about giving up. It is about letting go of the obsession with outcome. You may want to control how people see you, how opportunities unfold, how the future looks, but those things are not fully in your power. What is in your power is your preparation, your attitude, and your actions today. If you focus on those, the process unfolds naturally. When you try to control the rest, you create stress that serves no purpose. Think about the relationships in your life. When you try to control how another person feels or behaves, tension grows. You cannot make someone love you, agree with you, or act the way you want. You can only bring honesty, respect, and kindness into the relationship.
the rest belongs to them. Trusting the process in relationships means giving people space to be themselves and giving the relationship space to grow at its own pace. That creates peace, while control creates frustration. The same principle applies to personal goals. Many people want immediate results. They want success without setbacks, progress without delay. They become impatient, and impatience leads to overthinking. They ask themselves daily, why is it not happening yet? Why is it taking so long? Instead of trusting the process, they rush, compare themselves to others, and become discouraged. But growth is rarely instant. Skills take time to develop. Habits take time to build. Success takes time to compound. When you release control over timing and keep working steadily, you give yourself the best chance to succeed. Releasing control also helps you handle failure. If you try to control everything, failure feels like personal defeat. But if you trust the process, you understand that setbacks are part of growth. You see failure not as the end, but as feedback. You take the lesson and continue forward. Trusting the process means accepting that not every step will look perfect, but every step matters. It frees you from the fear of making mistakes, because you know mistakes are not final, they are part of learning. Practical steps help train this mindset. One is to remind yourself daily of what is within your control and what is not. Write down your tasks and separate them into two lists: actions you can take and outcomes you cannot guarantee. Commit to the first list and release the second. This habit keeps your mind clear. Another practice is patience training. Choose an area of life where you usually rush results and commit to steady effort without checking the outcome too often. For example, focus on exercising consistently without weighing yourself every day, or focus on creating daily work without obsessing over immediate recognition. This builds resilience and trust. You also strengthen trust by looking back at your past. Think about times when life worked out in ways you did not expect. How many opportunities came not from controlling everything, but from staying open and adapt? How many challenges taught you lessons you would never have learned otherwise? Trust grows when you realize that life has always moved you forward, even through difficulties. The process is often wiser than your immediate plans. There is emotional freedom in releasing control. Anxiety less. The need to predict every detail disappears. You feel lighter because you are not carrying the impossible burden of shaping everything yourself. You give space for creativity, for growth, and for unexpected opportunity. When your hands are not clenched around every outcome, you are more open to receive what life brings. Many people confuse control with strength, but real strength is found in balance. Strength means doing everything you can with focus and discipline, then stepping back and allowing life to unfold. Weakness is trying to micromanage everything and breaking down when it does not go your way. Control is fragile. Trust is powerful. This principle is especially important in moments of uncertainty. When the future is unclear, your instinct may be to tighten your grip, to plan obsessively, to analyze endlessly. But those actions often make the uncertainty feel heavier. The better response is to breathe, to act on what you can, and to release the rest. By trusting the process, you maintain clarity even in uncertainty. That clarity is your greatest tool. Trusting the process is not passive, it is active faith in your discipline. It is choosing to believe that your consistent effort will bear fruit, even if you cannot see the results immediately. It is understanding that progress is often invisible before it is obvious. This mindset allows you to keep moving forward when others quit. It allows you to stay steady when others panic. And it allows you to live with peace even when life feels unpredictable. Imagine how much calmer your life would feel if you stopped trying to control everything. Imagine waking up with the focus to give your best to the day, then letting go of the weight of tomorrow. Imagine ending your day with the satisfaction of knowing you acted well, without the anxiety of needing every outcome guaranteed. That is what trusting the process gives you. It turns each day into something you can handle instead of something that overwhelms you. This does not mean you stop dreaming big or setting high goals. It means you understand that goals are achieved through a process, not through force. You still aim high, you still plan, but you release the need to predict or manipulate every detail along the way. You accept that growth is gradual, and you trust yourself to handle each step as it comes. Releasing control also improves your relationships with others. People can feel when you trust them instead of trying to control them. It creates respect and freedom. Whether it is in family, friendships, or professional settings, trust builds stronger connections than control ever will, and those connections contribute to your clarity and peace. When you live with this mindset, overthinking loses its grip. Most overthinking is an attempt to control outcomes that cannot be controlled. By releasing control, you end the loop. You free your mind to focus on action, on presence, and on growth. You stop drowning in endless scenarios and start living with direction. So make this a daily practice. Do your part fully, then release the rest. Give your best effort to what is in your hands, then trust the process to carry the rest. The more you practice this, the stronger your peace becomes. You will face life's challenges without panic. You will approach your goals without impatience, and you will experience each moment with more presence. That is the power of releasing control. That is the freedom of trusting the process.
Chapter 9. Build confidence daily by completing small, real commitments. Confidence is not something you are born with, and it is not something you suddenly wake up with one day. Confidence is built, and it is built through action. Too many people think confidence is a feeling you wait for, but in reality, it is a result of proving to yourself that you can follow through. Every time you keep a commitment to yourself, no matter how small, you strengthen the trust you have in your own word. And that trust is what confidence really is, believing that you will do what you said you would do. The reason so many people struggle with self-doubt is because they make promises they do not keep. They tell themselves they will wake up early, but they stay in bed. They say they will finish a project, but they leave it halfway. They commit to changing a habit, but they give up when it becomes uncomfortable. Each broken commitment chips away at self-belief. Over time, the inner voice says, "Why should I trust you? You don't follow through." That quiet voice is the foundation of insecurity. The solution is not to wait for more motivation or for the perfect conditions. The solution is to rebuild self-trust through small, real commitments completed daily. Start with what you know you can finish. If you say you will drink more water today, then do it. If you say you will write one page, then complete it. If you say you will walk for 10 minutes, then keep that promise. These actions may seem small, but the psychological effect is enormous. Each one is proof to yourself that your word matters. Confidence is not about convincing others, it is about convincing yourself. And the way you convince yourself is not through empty talk, but through visible evidence. When you can look back at the end of a day and see that you followed through on your commitments, no matter how simple they were, you carry a quiet strength into tomorrow. That strength compounds. The more you prove to yourself that you can be trusted, the stronger your confidence becomes. Some people set goals that are so large that they become discouraged when they cannot finish them quickly. They think big dreams are the only path to confidence. But confidence does not come from unfinished dreams, it comes from completed actions. The size does not matter, the completion does. You build a house one brick at a time, and you build confidence one completed commitment at a time. Without the bricks, the house will never stand. This approach also breaks the cycle of overthinking. Many people get stuck in doubt because they want confidence before they act. They think, "Once I feel confident, I'll do it." But that is backwards. Action comes first. Confidence follows. You cannot wait for the feeling to start. You create the feeling by starting. The person who acts without confidence gains it through proof, while the person who waits for confidence never acts at all.
Think about the emotional relief that comes when you finally complete something. Even a small task like organizing a drawer or finishing a phone call you've been putting off creates a sense of peace. Your mind relaxes because the task no longer lingers. That same peace happens on a larger scale when you consistently keep commitment. Your inner critic grows quiet because it has less evidence against you. Instead of feeding yourself doubt, you feed yourself proof. The habit of completing small commitments also creates momentum. When you finish one, you feel capable of starting another. This momentum builds energy throughout the day. You begin to see yourself as a person who finishes, not a person who quits. That identity shift is powerful. Confidence is not only about what you do, it is about who you believe yourself to be. One practical way to start is by creating a short daily list of commitments. Keep it small, 3 to 5 actions that are realistic and clear. Make sure they are measurable. Be healthier is vague, but drink 4 glasses of water is measurable. Work harder is unclear, but spend 30 minutes focused on a project is clear. The key is to make commitments that can be completed, not just imagined. Completion is what builds confidence. Another approach is to set morning and evening ritual. In the morning, set 1 or 2 commitments for the day. In the evening, review whether you completed them. This habit creates accountability with yourself. Over time, it strengthens your trust. You begin to feel proud not because of what you planned, but because of what you actually did. You also need to resist the temptation of perfection. Confidence does not require flawless execution. It requires consistency. Even if you make mistakes, even if progress is slow, completing your commitments keeps you moving. Perfection demands too much and often leads to quitting. Consistency demands less, but creates far more in the long run. Relationships also benefit from this principle. When you keep small commitments to others, showing up on time, following through on promises, being reliable, you build trust not only with them, but with yourself. You begin to see that you are a dependable person. That dependability strengthens your identity, and identity is the root of lasting confidence. Building confidence daily through commitments also prepares you for larger challenges. When big opportunities come, you will be ready, because you have already trained yourself to finish what you start. You will not be shaken easily, because your confidence is not built on imagination but on evidence. You can look back and say, "I have proven myself before and I will do it again." That track record becomes your foundation. The opposite is also true. If you constantly break commitments, you weaken yourself for bigger challenges. When opportunities come, you hesitate because deep down you know you cannot trust your own word. That is why this principle is so powerful. Confidence is not built in the big moments, it is built in the small daily acts that no one else sees. It is important to be honest with yourself when choosing commitments. Do not set unrealistic promises just to feel ambitious. Set commitments that are meaningful and achievable. When you achieve them, raise the standard gradually. Over time, your capacity grows. You might begin with simple tasks, but as your self-trust strengthens, you will naturally take on greater challenges. Confidence grows in layers, and each layer is built by daily follow-through. There will be days when you fail to keep a commitment. That is part of the process. The key is not to let one failure define you. Learn from it, adjust, and move forward. The danger is not in one broken promise. The danger is in repeated patterns of breaking promises. As long as you return quickly to consistency, your confidence will continue to grow. Another useful practice is to track your progress. Keep a journal of completed commitments. At the end of each week, look back and see what you finished. This gives you tangible proof of growth. On difficult days, when your confidence feels low, you can review that record and remind yourself that you are capable. Evidence is stronger than doubt. The deeper truth is that confidence is not about convincing the world. It is about convincing yourself. The world may praise you one day and criticize you the next. If your confidence depends on them, it will always be unstable. But if your confidence is built on your own completed commitments, it becomes unshakable. No one can take away the proof of what you have done. Think of how your life could change with this mindset. Instead of starting big plans and quitting, you would finish daily steps. Instead of feeling doubtful, you would feel steady. Instead of chasing motivation, you would create it through action. Every area of your life, work, health, relationships, growth, would improve because you trust yourself to follow through. So stop waiting for confidence to appear, build it. Start today with small, real commitments you can complete. Keep them, stack them, use them as proof that your word matters. Over time, you will feel the shift. You will walk differently, speak differently, and act differently because you know you can trust yourself. That is the essence of confidence. It is not about being fearless. It is about being reliable to yourself. Each day is a chance to strengthen that trust. Each day is a chance to show yourself that you are capable. Each day is a chance to finish something real and carry the strength into tomorrow. Build your confidence daily by keeping your commitments, and you will never again have to wonder if you can handle life. You will know you can, because you have proven it. One completed action at a time.
Chapter 10. Create lasting peace by choosing clarity over constant pressure. Peace is something every person longs for, but most never truly experience because they are trapped under the weight of constant pressure. They feel pressure to perform at work, to keep up appearances, to achieve more than yesterday, to live up to the expectations of others, and to chase goals that are often unclear. Pressure builds in silence, showing itself through tension in the body, sleepless nights, and restless thoughts. People tell themselves that if they push harder, they will eventually find relief. But the truth is, pressure without clarity only creates more chaos. Lasting peace comes when you choose clarity over constant pressure. Clarity means knowing what truly matters, cutting away what doesn't, and directing your energy toward the essentials. Without clarity, you try to do everything, and in trying to do everything, you lose yourself. When the mind is overloaded with tasks and worries that do not have direction, every day feels like running on a treadmill. You are moving, but you are not moving forward. Choosing clarity is not about doing less for the sake of doing less. It is about doing the right things for the right reasons. Most people live in reaction. They wake up and immediately react to messages, notifications, or demands from others. Their entire day becomes a response to outside pressures. By evening, they feel drained but cannot point to anything meaningful that was accomplished. This cycle is dangerous because it conditions the mind to associate life with stress instead of purpose. Clarity breaks this cycle. It gives you direction before the day begins. It allows you to say, "This is what matters most today, and this is where I will put my energy." That simple act of prioritizing creates peace, because your mind knows exactly where to focus. Overthinking thrives in the absence of clarity. When you don't know what matters, everything feels urgent. Small tasks carry the same weight as important goals, and you live under pressure because you cannot separate the necessary from the unnecessary. Clarity cuts through this noise. It allows you to rank what deserves your attention and what does not. Imagine the difference between carrying 10 random weights and carrying 2 weights that actually make you stronger. That is what clarity does. It lightens your mental load by aligning your actions with your priorities. Clarity also means defining your values. Pressure often comes from living by someone else's standards instead of your own.
You may feel the push to achieve certain milestones because society says they matter, but deep down, they may not align with your values. This disconnect creates endless tension. When you are clear about what matters to you, your health, your family, your growth, your contribution, you stop chasing what does not belong to you. You start living in alignment, and alignment brings peace. Think about how many times people exhaust themselves pursuing goals that were never truly theirs. They feel pressure to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't respect, or to achieve titles they don't even care about. At the end of it, there is no peace because there was no clarity. But when you live by your values, even simple achievements bring deep satisfaction. Lasting peace is not about doing more than others, it is about doing what is right for you. Clarity also comes from simplifying. The more cluttered your environment, schedule, and commitments are, the heavier life feels. Simplifying does not mean living with nothing. It means removing what no longer serves your growth. When you reduce distractions, your mind finds space to rest. When you protect your time from endless commitments, you feel lighter. Simplification creates mental clarity, and mental clarity creates peace. Another key part of clarity is making decisions and moving forward. Constant pressure often comes from indecision. You go back and forth in your head, questioning every move, replaying every possibility, until your mind is exhausted. Clarity means deciding once and putting your energy into execution, instead of endless debate. When you live with clarity, decisions no longer drain you, they move, and movement creates relief. Clarity also transforms how you view progress. Pressure convinces you that progress must always be fast and dramatic. Clarity reminds you that progress is steady and consistent. Pressure shouts that you are behind. Clarity shows you that you are on your own path. When you choose clarity, you stop comparing your journey to others. You measure yourself by your values, your commitments, and your growth. That perspective brings lasting calm, because you are no longer racing a race that was never yours. Consider the impact this has on your health. Constant pressure keeps your body in stress mode. Your heart races, your muscles tighten, your mind spins. Over time, this damages both physical and mental health. Clarity shifts your body into balance. When you know what matters, you feel lighter. You no longer chase 10 directions at once. Your body relaxes because your mind is not overloaded. Health improves naturally when peace becomes your way of life. Practical steps can help you choose clarity each day. Begin by writing down your top 3 priorities every morning. Limit them to what truly matters, not everything that crosses your mind. By the end of the day, measure yourself not by how busy you were, but by how aligned you were with those priorities. Another practice is decluttering your environment. A clear space reflects a clear mind. Clean your desk, your home, and your digital spaces. The physical act of simplifying creates mental relief. You can also practice silence. Constant pressure often comes from too much noise, too many voices, too many opinions, too many distractions. Spending even a few minutes in silence each day helps you reconnect with clarity. In silence, your thoughts settle. You gain perspective. You remember what actually matters. That quiet space is where peace grows. Choosing clarity does not mean life will be free of challenge. Challenges will still come, but with clarity, you face them directly, instead of being crushed by unnecessary pressure. You know what matters most, so you handle difficulties with focus. Instead of scattering your energy across 100 small stresses, you keep it directed at what is essential. This makes even tough seasons manageable. Clarity also improves relationships. Pressure often shows up in the form of misunderstandings, unspoken expectations, and unclear communication. When you are clear in your relationships, clear in what you need, clear in what you give, clear in what you stand for, you reduce conflict. People around you know where you stand, and you know where they stand. That transparency, creates peace between you and others. The deeper truth is that clarity is a choice. Pressure will always be available. There will always be voices telling you to do more, be more, achieve more, or prove yourself endlessly. But you can choose differently. You can choose to quiet those voices and return to what truly matters. You can choose to measure your life, not by constant pressure, but by clear, meaningful progress. Imagine waking up tomorrow and starting your day with clarity. You know your priorities. You know what deserves your attention and what does not. Throughout the day, you give your energy to those things only. You ignore the distractions. You step away from unnecessary noise. You finish your day with peace, not because everything was perfect, but because everything was clear. That is what choosing clarity over pressure feels like. It is not about living without responsibility. It is about living without unnecessary chaos. Lasting peace is possible for anyone who is willing to make that choice. It is not reserved for those with perfect lives.